The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." Jesus replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed, for though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do? For I do not have space to store my harvest." And he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now, as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?" Thus it will be for all who store up treasure for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. The Gospel of the Lord. Tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. I guess, first of all, you'd have to define what inheritance means. But let's just say it is temporal goods. The period of time following the loss of parents, as I have seen with many families in my pastoral ministry, can be one of the most stressful of their lives as they begin to go through all the possessions of their parents. I was lucky with my brothers. None of us had any particular plans for my parents' things, and we didn't fight about any of it, except for who was doing more work to get rid of it. If anything, there was just so much stuff that it was overwhelming. But I have seen some desperate, difficult situations go from bad to worse as families split over things. Because of worldly possessions, brothers and sisters might sacrifice their relationship and might not talk to each other for years. And isn't the relationship the inheritance? I also spent a lot of time thinking about the first reading today, this idea of examining the motive behind whatever it is that we do. In the end, truly, anything we do for selfish motive is nothing more than vanity. Everything really is vanity, if you think about it, except for one thing. The only thing I can think of that is not vanity has to do with loving kindness, which includes aspects of selfless praise to God, as well as selfless service to others. All of this starts to sound very Buddhist, this idea that our human weakness always desires things that do not help us, but rather harm us. This craving or grasping, as they say, for possessions and things always leaves us feeling empty. But here now is the Christian solution to all of this. If you seek the path of self-emptying love, see, you have to add love. If you seek the path of self-emptying love, you will be filled with well-being, and you will know the happiness of loving kindness. This is the example of the communal life of the Blessed Trinity, made manifest once and for all, as we see in the self-emptying love of Jesus, the Son of God. This is the great contrast between seeking treasures for yourself and what matters to God. St. Paul says, "Seek what is above, not what is on earth." Jesus' own words, "And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?" Thus it will be for all who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich in what matters to God. So there is a type of wealth that Jesus wants us to seek, but it isn't kept in barns and storage units. I looked it up. The storage industry was worth $48 billion in the year 2020, expected to reach $65 billion in 2026. That's a lot of stuff. I had a priest professor in seminary who always said, "You will never see a hearse going down the street with a U-Haul trailer on the back." They don't even make hearses with trailer hitches. My brothers and I still have a storage unit in Kansas City that holds all the stuff that was our mom's, that was ours after our mom's death. At least everything we felt we could not dispose of. It's a lot of stuff. I want my nieces and nephews to want the things that were special to my parents and grandparents. They mean something to me, but they seem to have no value to them. At the end of the day, I am still left with the question of what to do with the china cabinet that belonged to my great-grandmother and the three generations of china that we never used because we worried we might break them. I have a shelf full of my grandma's Rose Depression glass collection. I could consider, I suppose, it as a possibility for sharing, but nobody wants them. In this way, though, things can be opportunities of loving kindness. Possessions can become charity. It isn't that possessions themselves are bad unless they start to possess you. I have found generally that possessions lead to anxiety, to be honest, a feeling that I am tied down by all this stuff that ultimately somebody is not going to want. So St. Paul paints a picture with very stark words, and you heard these words correctly. He says to the people of Colossus, he says, "You have died. You have died. Your life now is hidden with Christ in God. Put to death, then, the parts of you that are earthly." He is speaking about a true spiritual asceticism, a purifying, a simplifying, a restoration of clarity. It seems we spend each of our waking hours focusing on how to avoid death. But isn't it true that every living moment is living the process of dying? But we don't want to think that way. So what if we were to realize that we have already died, as St. Paul says? You see, Christianity has this upside-down perspective of life. In baptism, with our lives on earth, we enter with Jesus into the 3 days in the tomb, awaiting resurrection, that moment of birth, which is our death. The moment of passing from this life to eternal life is the moment in which we are utterly free, fully alive in God, fully alive. Things are no longer important. You have taken off the old self with its sinful practices, St. Paul says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. Think about that. Our daily life, the process of our daily life, we are being renewed constantly. It is new life which is being renewed. Now is the time of constant renewal. As we come together to full stature, not as individuals, but as a community, the body of Christ, as the creation God intended, not according to our individual designs, which themselves are vanity or mere possessions, but the mind and the heart of God. In the end, Christ is all and is in all.